Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in live from the Big X Sports Radio studios. Matt Dennison here for this Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. We are so glad you're with us today. We have a good show planned, going to cover a lot of topics today. And of course, start out with what's going on with this crazy time here in Southern Indiana and in our world and in our country. But Clark County yesterday reported the first COVID-19 related death. And of course, the numbers in Indiana continue to jump up as of the reporting late last night, early this morning. 3,039 positive cases have been identified in the state of Indiana. That number continues to take a significant jump each day, also increasing each day, unfortunately, not by a huge number yet, but I think bigger jumps, unfortunately, could be coming. Total number of deaths in Indiana right now, 78. According to the state Health Department, 16,285 people as of yesterday had been tested. I think that number probably is more than that with some of the private labs and other testing that are out there that may not report as quick. But in addition to the death yesterday, that obviously is not good news. Clark County reported 45 people that they have tested positive for coronavirus. And, of course, the first case in Clark County was back on March 17th. The first case in Floyd County was just a day or two before that. Floyd County, they've confirmed 58 positive cases through their testing, but of those 58 cases, 27 are residents of Floyd County that have tested positive for the coronavirus. So I tell you, this, there's no question about it. It jumps each day locally. It jumps each day in the state. Of course, you watch the numbers and New York, New York City, and even the national numbers, I don't think there's any question we are in the surge of this thing. Different models, different projections have the surge lasting and reaching its pinnacle at different dates. Some say in middle April. Some say late April. I've seen others in some states even that predict a May topping of the surge. But no question about it, we need to be vigilant, we need to be aware, and we need to stay home. I will say the last day or two, as I've come to the station, which we are allowed as media to come to the studio, but we're practicing social distancing here. I'm the only show that's still in the studio. We've got everything cleaned down. Producer Douglas Scott Wolverton is tucked away on the other side of the glass in the production room. But as I did make my trip today to the studio, you just don't see as many cars out. And that's a good thing. I hope and think that people are beginning to heed some of the warnings out there that this isn't a time to get out and play sports. This isn't a time to party. This isn't a time to have gatherings. It's a time to be at home. So, again, that's kind of an update on it. Unfortunately, I wish we could say those were the worst numbers that we'll report as far as a death locally and as far as the number of cases locally, but I think we'd be fooling ourselves if we said that was the case. Let's take a look at the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. We had the owner of Honey Baked Ham on, Carrie Kimmer, with us yesterday to talk about what life's been like at a restaurant, at a food service industry since COVID-19 has really affected this area. And we'll have him and others with us moving forward that are sponsors that are still out there serving you food, still want to support local businesses at this time. But our show lineup today, it presented by Honey Baked Ham. Segment one, I'll have our Zaxby's headlines as normal, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We have a number of things to get to in our headlines today. I want to share a list of players, not seniors, from the Big Ten that have declared or at least are going to test the waters for the NBA, which this is going to be a crazy NBA draft. I'm sure it's going to have to be delayed. Are there going to be combines, workouts like normal? When are they going to have it? When are they going to fit it in the calendar? How would it affect people that are testing the waters that ultimately want to come back? It's going to be interesting. We'll talk about that and Big Ten players that are going to try to go to the NBA draft this year. And then an interesting note from Iowa State, their athletic director. I want to share this about some reductions in pay already. I wonder if this could not be a new normal, at least temporarily, for a lot of Division I athletic departments. So we'll share that. Bryce Drew's coaching out at Grand Canyon now. We'll tell you about who his coaching staff is, has an Indiana tie, has a tie to a former IU coach, and some other headlines coming up here in segment number one. Later in the show, Alex Bozich, always with me Thursdays, Inside the Hall. We'll talk IU basketball. There's always something to talk about, whether it is recruiting, whether it's the current program, whether it's the coaches, whether it's the offseason, whether it's some history, things of the program. There's never something not to talk about a great program like IU basketball. So we'll do that with Alex today. And then later in the show, I'm excited to have this guest with me, Joe Glover. He's the IU Southeast Athletic Director. He's going to come on later in the program today. Joe obviously is with us from time to time to talk about IU Southeast Athletics, and we'll do that a little bit today. But with Joe today, I want to spend some time. He knows Scott Dolson, the new IU Athletic Director. I want to get his opinion, his thought. He knows him intimately. I want to talk with him about that. Also, generally, we've seen a lot of things with college sports happen that aren't good based on COVID-19's effect in our country. I mentioned that budgets are being cut, and that's going to be, I think, something unanimous across the board at most universities. Money not trickling down from national tournaments and rights fees and things like that at the level that it normally does. The NCAA made a decision to give an extra year of college eligibility to spring sport athletes so they can come back for another year since their season was essentially canceled, their full thing, including championships. That has a lot of effects. There's a lot of positive. I'm glad the kids get to come back and don't lose a year. That's the good news, but it does affect a lot of things. Scholarships and money and so many different things that maybe you don't think about when something like that is initially said. So Joe Glover with us to talk about that and more today when he joins us a little bit later in the program. And then this is day two of a really fun little feature we've started doing. It's a spring senior spotlight. You know, spring sports aren't on right now, and I don't think they're going to happen. I just really don't, and I think most people agree with that. So we said, what can we do to highlight spring sports athletes? You know, a lot of them, they may not get the coverage anyways that the basketball, football players get. So what can we do in a small way to bring them to light? So we've asked people to submit names, information, background on seniors that play spring sports in Southern Indiana. And yesterday we had Gavin Siebold from Jeffersonville Baseball as our feature spring athlete. Got to tell you a lot about him and his success in sports and beyond. And today we'll do that, the same thing with a young lady named Abby Jamison. She's a great girls tennis player in the area, and she plays for Floyd Central High School. So she is our spring senior spotlight. We'll have that for you later in the show today. That's the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to visit your local Honey Baked Ham store in New Albany for lunch and dinner options that you can get quickly in a clean and pleasant atmosphere without the crowds and chaos that you'll find at the grocery stores. Honey Baked Ham has several dinner bundles as well as their delicious ham and turkey breast for takeout. Let's jump into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news, a list of Big Ten players. These are underclassmen, not seniors, that have declared or at least will test the waters for the NBA coming up this offseason. These are some good players, some big names. Some of these guys had terrific games against Indiana. If you think back to Big Ten contests this past season, Caleb Wesson of Ohio State, he's going to test the waters. Isaiah Livers of Michigan. Xavier Tillman, love his game at Michigan State. Cam Mack of Nebraska. Daniel Arturo of Minnesota. Marcus Carr of Minnesota. So with Arturo and Carr potentially leaving Minnesota, those are obviously some big losses for Richard Pitino two underclassmen that both did some good things for him as he's trying to build that program up. Also, an interesting note, and I only share this because I think that we're going to see, I don't care if it's Indiana, IU Southeast, any college, any level across the country, but I think you're going to see, based on COVID-19's effects, just like it's going to affect businesses, and there are going to be cutbacks with businesses, and businesses close, and businesses shrink, and businesses reorganize things. It's going to happen to a certain degree with college athletics as well. And I saw a tweet from Brett McMurphy, who covers college football. It says, Iowa State AD Jamie Pollard said the school will implement a one-year temporary pay reduction for the athletics department coaches and certain staff, which will reduce the payroll at Iowa State at least $3 million and a one-year temporary suspension of all bonuses and incentives for all coaches, which will save at least $1 million. So $4 million minimum savings from that announcement at Iowa State. And again, I wonder, I know some schools are very solid in their finances, some are not. Some of the big dogs, some of the successful programs, there are local programs in Division I that not as solid financially as you might think for various reasons. It's going to be interesting to see if what Iowa State and their AD has announced, maybe to kind of get out ahead of it, to make an early announcement. It's going to be interesting to see if that happens with some of the other universities as well. Grand Canyon, it was one of the openings that Rick Pitino was rumored for before he eventually accepted Iona. Bryce Drew, the new head coach there, he's an Indiana boy, son of Homer Drew from Valparaiso, former Mr. Basketball. He finally put his staff together as he gets in, entrenched at Grand Canyon. And one of those assistant coaches that he announced yesterday with his staff, Ed Schilling, another Indianapolis guy, Indiana guy from the state of Indiana, played high school ball here. Dad coached high school ball here. Of course, a former assistant for Archie Miller. Things did not seem to work out based on how he left the program. But Ed Schilling going to stay in the Division I game, headed to Grand Canyon to work for fellow Hoosier native Bryce Drew. The All-Southern Athletic Conference team, as we move on with some high school notes here in our Zaxby's headlines, we've seen the Hoosier Hills, we've seen the Mid-Southern Conference, and now the All-Southern Athletic Conference team for boys basketball. Connor Nolot and Tripp Dillon III of Lanesville, Josh Clemens, Jesus Diaz, and A.J. Walter from New Washington. Tommy Devine, just a freshman at Borden on the all-conference team. Weston Allen of Henryville, Dylan Patterson and Lucas Stewart of South Central, and Josh Thomas and Cable Spall of Henryville. So a number of Clark County guys on the team locally. Also, most outstanding player, Connor Nolot of Lanesville, Coach of the Year, another great job, Michael Miller at Lanesville. His team finished 5-0 in the conference, and New Washington second at 4-1 in the conference, but Coach Miller is Coach of the Year in the Southern Athletic Conference. We've been telling you all week about a program the Big X is really proud to be involved with, Virtual Skills and Drills. It's a collaboration of Hoosier Hills Hoops, Floyd County Parks and Recreation, and the Big X. 15 days of virtual instruction videos that are anywhere from 3 minutes to 12 minutes from local coaches that kids each morning at 9 a.m. can find on the Hoosier Hills Hoops Facebook page. We're in day 6 of 15, so we're almost halfway home, and today's presenter is Henryville boys coach Jared Hill. His video's really good. He focuses on the importance of making layups. And you think, well, gosh, isn't that pretty basic? Yes, it is. But think about how many bunnies, how many layups, how many close shots near the rim you see missed, even in college and high school games. So his video today focuses on footwork, making layups, the right way to shoot a layup, different ways to shoot a layup, and also some different finishing moves and footwork at the basket. So if you're a player, if you're an athlete, if you've got a child, a grandchild, a family member, a friend, a neighbor that is a player, it doesn't really matter the age. These videos are all really good, from the very best in the area down to even preschool. We've seen photos and videos submitted of kids working on their skills in this time to stay at home, in this time to be alone with family. It's a great way to get better. You hear wonderful stories about players in the off season getting better. Yes, there's games and leagues and things you can do as well, but not right now. If you're going to play basketball, the sport we love here in the area, and you're going to get better, this is a wonderful way to get a lot of reps each day. So check it out, facebook.com/Hoosier Hills Hoops. These videos from local coaches, again, this is day six. I think the record so far is like 8.5, so 8,500 views on Facebook for some of these videos. Not all have had that many, but most have had 5, 6,000 views. It's just amazing. And we encourage kids, parents, get your kid out there, take a photo of them going through the drill, take a video of them trying the drill. If they're a younger kid, dumb the drill down so it's a little easier for them. But it's been awesome to see the photos come in from kids and their parents across the area. And probably even cooler than that, especially for those of them sending them in to me at Hoosier Hills on Twitter, the coaches have been responding and congratulating kids and encouraging kids as well. It's just turned out to be a wonderful program here in this stay-at-home time, a virtual skills and drills program that you can find at Hoosier Hills Hoops. Don't forget our senior spotlight coming up later in the program. We'll highlight Abby Jamison, Floyd Central girls tennis player, a senior that likely will not get a senior season or an opportunity in the state tournament individually or with her team coming up later this spring. We'll tell you more about her coming up later in the program. That's our headlines for this Thursday edition of the program. Our Zaxby's headlines. Don't forget Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany, still open for take-home service. And, of course, they are the home of famous hand-breaded, hand-seasoned chicken fingers, fresh salads, and saucy wings, all made to order at Zaxby's. We'll head to a break. When we come back, we will be joined by Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, one of our regular guests every Thursday. We'll talk IU basketball and more. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a shit what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Thursday program. Alex Bozich of InsideTheHall.com. Always with us. We talk IU basketball and more. And Alex, I want to start our conversation today with something I mentioned in our headlines segment today. But some notable Big Ten names, underclassmen, have at least mentioned or said or even declared that they're going to go to the NBA or at least test the waters. Caleb Wesson of Ohio State, Isaiah Livers of Michigan, Xavier Tillman, Michigan State, Cam Mack, Nebraska, two from Minnesota, Daniel Arturo and Marcus Carr. Those are some big names that had big years in the conference, respectively, for their teams. With that said, I'd like your thoughts, obviously, on some big names departing or potentially departing, but it's an odd year to go to the NBA draft, especially as an underclassman, and especially if you're not a player that is almost lock, stock, and loaded, predicted to be drafted in the first round, because who knows when the draft's going to be. Who knows what the deadlines are going to change for when a player could go back to college or not go back. There's so many moving pieces because of the pandemic we're currently going through that it's going to affect things that, like the NBA draft, that we maybe don't even immediately think about.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting year from a just a draft perspective in general, as you mentioned, because there's so many unknowns. But I wonder how for some of those guys you mentioned that aren't surefire first round picks. I mean, of the names you mentioned, the guys I can think of off the top of my head that would probably be a first rounder, Daniel Tour of Minnesota. Beyond that, I'm not real sure any of those other guys that you mentioned are going to be first round picks if they stay in or decide to go. So my biggest question is, how do those guys get an accurate gauge of their draft stock without having an event like the combine or having the ability to work out for teams? I mean, there's no precedent for this. Most of the time, if you remember, like back to last year, Juwan Morgan. He wasn't an underclassman, but he went around the whole country and worked out for a slew of teams, and ultimately was able to impress the Utah Jazz and get a G League spot and ultimately an NBA contract. These guys aren't going to have that opportunity. So they're going to have to rely on advice from agents and direct correspondence with NBA teams. They're not going to be able to actually go out and show anything other than what they did this season. And so it's a pretty scary, I think, predicament for guys that aren't first-rounders, because if they get bad advice and leave, they could end up in a situation where they don't have a role with a professional team next year that they want, and they could have come back to college. So hopefully there's going to be some more guidance given as we get down the road here and have a little bit better understanding of where everything's headed. I think it's still pretty early in the process of the draft. I mean, usually the combine is held in May. I wouldn't expect that they're going to have that this year, just based on everything that's going on. I don't know how guys are going to be able to work out if the NBA season's not even going on. I can't imagine teams are going to want to have players in for workouts and moving them around the country. That just doesn't seem realistic to me. So a lot of unknowns, and a lot of those names you mentioned are pretty significant for Big Ten teams. I mean, Marcus Carr at Minnesota, I know he's a guy they'd really like to have back. Xavier Tillman at Michigan State, I think he's a guy that has a chance to play in the NBA, but I don't know if he's a first-round pick. That's a pretty big decision just for the Big Ten at large next year. And there's going to be other guys who declare. But, yeah, it's a really stripped-down process this year than what we're used to, and I hope it doesn't lead to guys getting bad information and making decisions that are poor. Usually you can have a pretty good sense of where you stand. If you get a combine invite, you have a pretty good idea that, you know, you're at least on the radar. And if you don't get one, it's a pretty good idea that, hey, it's time to go back to school. If they don't have a combine this year, that's one other kind of piece of information that's going to be missing from the process. So hopefully the NBA and the NCAA are working kind of hand-in-hand to try to get people, the players involved, with the best information possible so they can make good decisions. Because the last thing we need with what's going on in the world is young people and their futures being impacted in an adverse way by all of this.
Talking with Alex Bozich inside the hall here on this Thursday program. You know, we've spent some time let me say this. SportsCenter had a great idea. Senior night, Scott Van Pelt, Greg Doyle came on our program Tuesday. He's doing a senior thing in Indiana with some of the great storylines. And I thought, you know, that those are great, but we're still missing a lot of the local seniors right here. So we've started a senior spotlight for spring sports for players that likely are losing their senior season. And I've had a couple people say, hey, that's great. Awesome idea. Thanks for doing it. But what are we going to do for young players, for juniors specifically, that are losing out, and let's just use basketball players for an example, that are losing out on a big recruiting opportunity potentially, not only this spring, we know that a lot of that, if not all of that's already canceled, but maybe even into the month of June, the high school stuff, the one weekend coaches can come out there, and then of course in July, you've got a weekend for travel ball, shoe circuits, and another NCAA ran camps across the country. But juniors that are trying to get recruited, it may not affect the top-level person like a Trey Kaufman, although I did bring up an example earlier in the week where it could hurt someone like Trey that's getting a lot of high-major interest, but maybe the Dukes, maybe the Kentuckys, maybe those guys that are just beginning to watch and pay attention to them, it's going to cut some evaluation opportunity to go from a really good situation maybe to a top level in college basketball situation. But just for the average college prospect, the guy that maybe doesn't have any scholarship offers as a junior, this is going to affect that class in a great way as well, as far as getting their name out there, being seen, maybe getting some scholarship offers and starting that process of finding out where they want to go, where they fit in, and who's really interested in them.
Yeah, and as you were talking there, Matt, an example came to mind. It wasn't in the immediate past, but I covered this recruitment pretty heavily and talked to this player quite a bit and his family Robert Johnson when he was coming up through the ranks. The summer before his senior year, so he was a rising, a rising senior, which is what Trey Kaufman is and some of these other 2021 kids in Indiana. Robert Johnson, I remember that spring, I'd never even heard of him. And he started to get a little bit of interest. And by the summer, based on what he did in the NBA camp and what he did at some other events around the country, he had gone from, I think, an offer from UNC Greensboro to offers from Virginia, Indiana, North Carolina, Florida State, to name a few. So that kind of tells you the importance of having opportunities to play in front of coaches and kind of get your name out there. There's going to be some really good players that are going to fly under the radar, and those mid-major schools that have built those relationships early on are going to be the beneficiaries in a lot of those cases. In a situation like I just mentioned, you know, if Rob Johnson doesn't have that summer to play on the national circuits and get his name out there, maybe he ends up somewhere in the mid or low major level just because he didn't have that opportunity. So it's unfortunate if it comes to that for a lot of these kids, but in some ways, I guess it may help some mid and low major schools if they built these early relationships with these kids. I think probably a lot of mid majors are glad that maybe their prospect that they've uncovered that they're just hoping wasn't going to blow up all summer may not get seen. But overall, it's just a bad deal for everybody. As you mentioned, even a top level prospect like a Trey Kaufman, who could have, you know, maybe gone out this summer and played head to head with against some really good players and earned an offer from, say, a Duke or a Kentucky, he may not have that opportunity. And then it just works its way down the food chain. I think we talked about this a little bit last week, but I think that the college programs that really did their homework this high school season and went to a lot of games and saw a lot, they're going to have a leg up on everybody else that was just kind of waiting for the spring and summer evaluation periods. Because, I mean, I can't predict the future, and I don't know this, Matt, but it would be surprising to me at this point if they had July recruiting that we're used to. I just don't see a scenario where things are going to be back to normal by then. I mean, I'm not saying that we're all going to be inside in our houses by then, but to have that large of a gathering of people by then, to me, it doesn't seem realistic. I mean, for example, IU has canceled all on-campus events through July 31st. So that kind of tells you what people that are making decisions about these types of things are thinking at this point. This isn't ending anytime soon, and it's going to be a challenge for kids, for college programs, and it could have some adverse effects on the college game over the next couple of years, depending on how it ends up. So I'm just hopeful at this point that, you know, we get some back to semblance of normal in terms of sports and having sports back in the fall. But I'm not optimistic for anything in the near future to happen.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. And, you know, the NCAA had said it was going to be a dead period as far as recruiting goes to April 15th. And we're still a few days away from April 15th, obviously, but they've already extended that now through May 31st. So you talk about IU canceling events on campus through July 31st. The NCAA has already pushed out the dead period for recruiting through May 31st. It doesn't give you hope, as you just said, that summer basketball, summer recruiting for these players that in many cases desperately need it, that anything like that happens. So it's going to be really interesting to follow this and see. Do you think that, and I know there's been talk of this, other people have put their proposals or ideas out there, but do you think because of so much being lost for the recruiting, especially the junior class, which I think is who you have to feel most concerned about with this, do you think the NCAA will make a one-year, one-time different calendar, maybe allow some fall dates? That used to happen, especially on the girls' side back years ago. They had a live weekend or two in the fall for Division I women's coaches. Do you think something like that could pop up, or do you think that they'll just try to get through this year and say, hey, you know, use your senior year to capitalize on things?
Yeah, I don't know what the feasibility of putting those events together. Obviously, there'd be an appetite for those who put those events on because they're not going to be able to put them on this summer, and that's a huge loss of you know, revenue or whatever for whoever, you know, the Nikes and the Adidases of the world that are putting those events on. So I'm sure they're going to want to have something as soon as possible, as soon as it's safe. I mean, even if they don't have events like that, I hope that they're a little bit more lenient on the number of evaluation days and let coaches kind of go out a little bit more in the fall and maybe ease the restrictions on how many visits they can make with the kids and things like that so they can make up on lost time. But I'm sure a lot of recruiting right now is going on with video conferencing and doing like virtual tours and things like that. But I mean, with it being through May 31st, right now with a dead period, you know, I think the immediate concern is if you're going after a kid that's a spring decision or a grad transfer, you know, how do you get the kid comfortable with making a decision? I think at some point a kid is going to want to step foot on your campus before they make a decision and say, I'm coming here. And there's going to be a lot of, you know, there's a ton of grad transfers right now, and they have no way of getting them on campus. So it's going to be interesting. I can't imagine too many kids in recent memory have made a decision to go to a school without ever being there, but I think that's certainly possible, going to happen this spring and summer, depending on how long this restriction from the NCAA continues on.
We're talking with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Alex is with us Thursdays. We talk IU basketball and more. You know, I think about, as we talk about recruiting and dead periods and what's likely not going to happen this summer, what's already been canceled this spring, I think about the current college players as well. Just take Trace Jackson Davis, for example. He's a player that has NBA potential. Some think he'll play one more year of college basketball and then perhaps try the NBA route. But with gyms closed, with his high school facility obviously shut down, with any sort of workout facility, the many basketball facilities that exist in Indianapolis, you know, if they're following the rules under the order of Governor Holcomb and the CDC, they cannot be open right now. It doesn't even matter if it's to one or two players going in for a workout. I've seen newspaper stories both locally and all across the country of basketball courts having their rims removed. I saw that Indianapolis was even wedging in 2x4s and screwing them across the rim so they didn't have to take the old brittle rim maybe off the backboard itself. So what is a guy, I mean, you could always stay in physical shape. You can run, you can do weights, you can do things like that at home, in the neighborhood, at a local park. But what does a Trace Jackson Davis do at this time? And I know you don't know the answer, Alex. I'm just kind of putting it out there. What does a guy like that do that's a potential NBA prospect down the very road in just a year or so, and expected, already being written about what a big season he should have for Indiana and how Indiana he can lead them next year? What do you do to perfect and hone and work on your basketball skills when, unless you got a nice setup in your driveway or your backyard? Wonder what a guy like that's doing.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get creative. I think you got to find, if you don't have something in your yard or your backyard or your driveway, you got to maybe try to find a park where there's still a rim up. I mean, I know Anthony Leal, when I talked to him a couple weeks ago, he was kind of on a day-to-day basis where he was going to be able to find somewhere to get shots up. But I think the guys who come out of this the strongest are going to be the ones who get as creative as possible. I know there's stories of rims being taken down, but I'm sure there's still a lot of instances where you can find a playground or something like that where you can go and just get work in on a one-on-one basis by yourself. So that's probably what it's going to come down to. You can do a lot of things at home. I know Cliff Marshall's had a lot of different workouts that he's been posting on social media that anybody can do, even without weights. So, I mean, there's ways to get things done. If you remember, I don't know if you've ever seen some of the stories about Buddy Hield when he was coming up. He didn't obviously come from a really good situation where he was originally from, and the goal that he really learned the game of basketball on was basically a milk carton that was taped up to a electric telephone pole with the bottom cut out of it. So it wasn't like he grew up playing on a goal So it's basically, you know, if you want it bad enough, you're going to find a way. And based on what I know about Trace Jackson Davis, he's going to figure out the best way possible to make himself a better player. It may not be getting 1,000 shots up a day, or it may be a matter of, like you said, running, lifting weight, doing things like yoga, doing ball handling drills. I mean, you can always do ball handling drills. You can always, you know, do passing drills, things like that. So I think he'll be fine. And hopefully, you know, the guys that work hardest, and as Anthony Leal told me, you know, there's a huge temptation to just kind of shut things down right now and sit on the couch and watch Netflix. But he said basically that, you know, he's going to take this time as an opportunity to try to get better and do the best he can with the situation. I think that's kind of the attitude you have going through all this.
Alex, we'll let you go here in a moment, but greatest IU player of all time, greatest Hoosier of all time. You've got a bracket that you and Jared Morris have put together. Voting has been underway now for a week or more, and tell us where we're at in that bracket and some of the highlights from the bracket. You've taken the best, in your opinion, 68 IU players, seeded them in different eras, in different, instead of regions, different eras, and you've had some good matchups so far, and those matchups are even going to get more interesting as the bracket moves along. Where are we at? How's participation? And some highlights from the greatest Hoosier of all time bracket on InsideTheHall.com.
Participation's been good, getting several thousand votes on each matchup, which is good. I think it'll only continue to grow as you get a little bit deeper in the tournament and matchups get closer. The one thing kind of about these early rounds is there hasn't been a lot of close matchups, because when you're talking about, you know, a 1 versus a 16, it's pretty clear cut, and there's not a lot of debate. But we're on now the round of 32 for the post-night era, which is up right now on Twitter for voting and also available on InsideTheHall.com. And you can vote there as well. So I think once we get to the Sweet 16, you're going to have a lot more potential for some upsets and a lot closer voting. I think the closer the polls are, I think it's going to bring out more voting. And, you know, the tendency, I think, from a lot of people is once you see it's, you know, like right now we have Yogi going up against Christian Watford, I think, in a 1-9 matchup. Yogi's way ahead, so it's a pretty much foregone conclusion that he's going to move on. So maybe some people aren't going to vote, but I think that changes a little bit in the later rounds when you look at some matchups where it could be a lot closer. I'm still interested, really interested to know who's going to win. I have a suspicion that Calvert Chaney is the favorite. I don't know that I would pick him if it was my call, but I think he's got a pretty good chance. But there's some other guys I think out there that are going to have a say. Scott May is another one. I could see Yogi putting up a fight just because of how recent it was. Old Depot is another one I think a lot of people really like, and obviously Steve Alford and Isaiah Thomas. I think those guys will have a say too. So it's going to be real fascinating. I think once we get to the Sweet 16 rounds, which will start next week, and we get to the Elite Eight, Final Four, and Championship, it's going to be pretty fascinating to watch. And thanks for everybody for voting. Thanks, Matt, for talking about it. And hopefully it's given people something to look forward to in a time that there's not a lot else going on in the sports world.
Yeah, the things we look forward to in this pandemic, sometimes it's the small things. Great idea, very creative. Good work, and as always, Alex, thanks for being with us here on the program. Stay safe, and we'll talk with you next Thursday.
All right, Matt. Have a good day.
Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, our guest here on this Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. One segment still ahead. IU Southeast Athletic Director Joe Glover joins me in the next segment. We're going to talk about the wild world of college sports right now. Budget cuts, eligibility given another year to spring sport athletes. That has a lot of effects on sports and on college athletic departments. We'll talk that and more. Also, our senior spotlight for spring sport athlete likely getting their season stripped from them. It's Abby Jamison, Floyd Central girls tennis player. We'll highlight her in the next segment as well. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Thursday program. Final segment, Joe Glover, IU Southeast Athletics Director, joining me here in just a moment, and we'll wrap the show up at the very end with our spring senior spotlight on Abby Jamison of Floyd Central Girls Tennis. Mr. Glover, great to have you with us today. Want to talk a little bit about IU Southeast and more about college sports as a whole, because with everything going on right now, this is going to greatly have some effects on college athletic departments across the country, and you can shed a lot of light on that as well. First off, when spring sports was canceled, basically at all levels due to COVID-19 and this pandemic, we should highlight some of your own teams, specifically baseball and softball, that were off to some of the greatest starts in their seasons and their spring seasons ever.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. I appreciate you having me. I tell you what, this COVID-19 crisis has really taken its toll, you know, on many student athletes around the country, and obviously that pales in comparison to the loss of life, obviously, and the things that are going on around the country here as we try to protect people. But yeah, you're right. I mean, our baseball program was 18-1, 6-0 in the conference, ranked 12th in the NAI, and off to one of the best starts we believe in school history. You know, the highest ranking that they've ever had as a baseball program. We had three seniors, Trevor McDonald, Jake Scott, and Brandon Hubbard, who had their senior seasons cut short, and hopefully we'll be able to return with some of the NAI legislation that's going to be taking place here to give seasons back, which I know we'll talk about here in a few minutes. But they were off to a great start. Softball as well, 19-2 overall. Coach Witten didn't have any seniors on the program, so they are young, and they're poised to come back and hopefully continue what they started this year. But really, we're looking to have banner years in baseball and softball for IU Southeast, and it was tough. And I'll even mention our tennis team. You know, our tennis team had their first win over a ranked team since 2016. They beat number 16 ranked Campbellsville. And tennis was looking to have an excellent year. And we were chock full of seniors there. Lauren Winchell, Camille Greenwill, Jeannie Soto, Bradley Cross, Garrett and Dalton Finsler, Sam Venter, and Brock Winchell, all seniors for the men's and women's tennis teams at IU Southeast. And some of them will return, and some of them will move on into their careers. So just hate to see that their seasons ended this way with this crisis.
Joe Glover, IU Southeast Athletics Director, my guest. Let me ask you, I'm not sure how this came down, obviously. You were in discussions with the conference and the NAIA, I'm sure, but who actually had to tell your spring sport athletes at IU Southeast that this season, like you may be seeing for even Division I sports, it's not going to happen? Spring sports are off. What a tough job. I'm curious who had that responsibility, and whoever it was, you or the coaches, that had to be one of the toughest things that you've done in your coaching and in your athletics career.
Without a doubt. I mean, you know, it was a little bit of both. I obviously told some of the teams, and then some of the teams were told by coaches after the announcement went out. And it without a doubt, it's one of the hardest things you ever have to do, is to sit down as a college administrator and explain to the coaches and to the staff that, you know, we're done. And you know, we were one of the early decision makers, probably earlier in the process. The country hadn't quite seen the massive cancellation that had gone on. And I think that at the time, there were some people questioning, hey, are we taking this too far too soon? You know, we just canceled winter sports. Are we sure we need to cancel the spring sports already? And it was a tough decision. And again, trying to let the athletes know that their health and safety was the number one priority, and that we wanted to make sure that they didn't get anything that compromised their health or the health of their family, you know, by playing a sport that we all love. It was a difficult decision. I know our coaches struggled as well, and a lot of them are trying to be creative during these times and figure out how to stay engaged with their athletes, and continuing to recruit during this time is difficult, and it just created a lot of challenges. But I am a firm believer that all of this is going to help us in the long run. I think we're going to have some some ability to think a little bit differently, to maybe come up with some new plans that will help us. And I think that as bad as it is going through this, when we come out on the other side, I think we're going to be better. And I think we're going to learn some things about ourselves that we didn't quite know that may make us even stronger as we move forward as a program.
Very good perspective. Joe Glover, IU Southeast Athletic Director. Scott Dolson, he's the new AD, although a longtime assistant in Bloomington at Indiana University. And being an IU affiliate, you guys have annual meetings at least with all the athletic directors and personnel. And I know that Scott Dolson is taking over this job with much more publicity and going to be on the front, the out front, more than what he ever has been. But he's a known name if you're a true IU person and if you have been around the Bloomington campus. And you've got the chance to know him fairly well. A lot of IU fans listen to this show. Tell us a little bit about the new boss of IU Athletics.
Yeah, without a doubt, Scott's a great guy. Scott is a guy that I consider a good friend of mine, and I know, you know, when I explain people, you know, a little bit more, they ask me, what do I know about Scott? You know, the first thing I talk about is just, he's just such a professional. He's a true professional, and he's well-loved by the coaches and donors around the state of Indiana. His heart is really in the right place. He loves that IU program. They couldn't love it anymore. I mean, he spent his entire career there, started as a manager, you know, in basketball for Bob Knight. And, you know, a lot of people may not realize this, but Bob Knight's return to IU would not have happened without Scott Dolson. Scott was really a key part of that and was really the only administrator who worked from the university's perspective on that project to bring Bob back to Assembly Hall. And that's how the Knight family wanted it. And without Scott, it wouldn't have happened. So he's always a guy that cares about the program, level-headed and smart, and he really cares. And I know that some people are like, well, you know, Indiana University's hiring an internal candidate. You know, is he going to be able to make the tough decisions? And I can tell you without a doubt, Scott will make the tough decisions because he cares about IU. He cares about the program, and he wants to see it succeed and take that next step and to get basketball and football back to where they need to be. And I have no concerns. I really think Scott's going to do a nice job because so many of the coaches already are bought into his vision and what he you know, what he does for the program. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does there. He and I have talked a few times since he's been brought on or since the announcement went out, and he's excited and he's ready to get going and has a lot of plans, I think, to implement some things that are really going to help this program once we get done with this crisis and get through this.
Joe Glover, IU Southeast, my guest. One of the big topics, one of the big subjects about college sports right now is that no winter athletes are not going to get an additional year of eligibility. And yes, spring sport athletes will, as their season was entirely canceled. It sounds like a good thing. Immediate reaction, and my permanent reaction is this is the right thing to do. But with this decision, there are a lot of things that we all, including myself that's been around it, don't think about. Talk a little bit about what giving an additional year of eligibility, especially for sports in the spring that maybe don't have huge budgets, and at the lower level, the small college level, really don't have a big budget for scholarships. You're going to add new players coming in as freshmen. You're going to retain, in most cases, the middle grades and the seniors, and some, not all, but some cases will stay. Really creates some challenges for schools and athletic departments.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, I appreciate you asking the question. You know, this is going to make us think a little bit differently. The extra year to spring sports athletes, certainly I agree, is the right thing to do, but it is going to have implications for scholarships. You know, our maximums are still in place, you know, for the maximum amount of scholarships we can give. So what's that going to mean for incoming freshmen? I think that's one of the first concerns that come in. If you bring back seniors from last year, are there going to be dollars available for those incoming freshmen that normally would get those spots? And I know that the NAI is working hard on that. Our council of presidents is looking at that as far as what the scholarship limits might look like and if there's any wiggle room to be able to help those seniors coming back. I think we're going to get to a place where we're going to have a nice compromise where we'll be able to give those scholarships, honor those, and still let the freshmen come in and be able to earn those awards that they normally would have, which I think is the right thing to do. I think we're kind of going through that and understanding what it's going to mean from a fiscal standpoint. But I do think we're going to get there, and I hope the NCAA will come up with a common sense approach to that as well. I know that's glass half full thinking. I hope that they do, and I think that they will. But I know the NAIA is going to try to work something out there. But you're right. I mean, when you think about this, there's a lot of things that come up that you never thought about. You know, I was on a conference call for the last 3 days with athletic administrators on the what we call the National Administrative Council, which makes a lot of these decisions for the NAI. And, you know, things like statistics, you know, when you think about an abbreviated season, you know, do those stats still count?
Wow.
You played half the baseball season,
never,
you know,
even
all
thought
those
of that.
Coming. Yeah, and so career leaders, you know, how does that happen? So when you have someone that's going to play 5 years now, are they going to be able to, you know, count those stats for their career? I mean, there's so many decisions that come into this, and we're working hard to get those solved.
Joe Glover, IU Southeast Athletics Director. Joe, so many other topics that I'd like to broach with you. We're going to have you back next week to finish this, but keep working ahead. Appreciate all that you do. Got to see Wiley Brown last week. He recorded a video for the virtual skills and drills program that we've been doing with Hoosier Hills Hoops. And I want to give you a shout out because you've been helping us behind the scenes edit and spice up some of these videos. Job well done. It's went over really well. And part of that is how professional the videos look.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, Matt. Thanks for what you're doing for our students across the region. And you keep up the hard work as well. And everybody stay safe and healthy out there, and we'll be back to sports before you know it.
Absolutely. That is Joe Glover, IU Southeast Athletics Director. We will have him back because there's a lot of topics as an administrator in athletics right here locally that he's aware of, and he can help us better understand, because there are going to be some challenging, challenging times ahead for colleges across the country at all levels, especially when it comes to sports. As we wrap up today, it's time for our senior spotlight for spring sport athletes. We're doing this once a day on the show, recognizing athletes from across the area that likely are not going to get a senior season due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Our athlete today that we're going to spotlight, Abby Jamison, an outstanding young lady from Floyd Central High School. She plays girls tennis for Floyd Central. They have a tremendous tennis program. Some of her honors in tennis include All-State Honorable Mention, Indiana District 8 Team, Second Team All-Conference, and Southern Indiana All-Area Team for the 2019 season last year. But she's just as strong, if not even better, academically. Some of her accomplishments include maintaining a GPA of 5.014. That is amazing. She has a class rank number one at Floyd Central out of 433 seniors. She is just an outstanding student. She's taking 13 AP or IB classes throughout the high school time, and she's also a member of the National Honor Society. Very passionate about the Dance Marathon organization they have at Floyd Central, which raises money for children's hospitals throughout the country. She's been involved with Floyd Central Dance Marathon all 4 years of high school and was an executive member of their board her senior year. She says the organization has truly changed her life and provided her with relationships that she will have forever. A couple shout outs she wants to give: her parents and her sister for all of their support. Robert Kleeman and Nick Roby, those are high school coaches at Floyd Central. They've been with her the last several years, and they've helped her develop as a player, also a person as well. Lauren Beyer, Lauren is her trainer. She says one of her all-time favorite people as well. Davina Meza, her private coach. She just recently started working with her, but very appreciative of everything she's done for her game in tennis. And also Chloe Loftus, one of her friends, her best friend, she says, for being by her side through everything. She wants to thank Chloe for pushing her as an athlete, because Chloe's work ethic is unparalleled, and she's inspired me to work harder. That is what Abby told us about her friend Chloe. She is the daughter of Susan and Tim Jamison, and after high school, she will be attending Center College, where she'll major in behavioral, neuroscience, and she'll be on the pre-med track. And yes, she's going to play tennis at Center College down in Kentucky. Hats off to Abby Jamison of Floyd Central Girls Tennis, an outstanding athlete, an outstanding tennis player, an outstanding student in the classroom, very well-rounded. Congratulations to you, Abby, on a tremendous career at high school. We hope you get to get back on the tennis court at Floyd Central this season, but if you don't, we wanted to do our part in recognizing your great accomplishments all the way around for our community and for your school. Congratulations. That's going to wrap things up for this Thursday program. Back with you Friday, we've got Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. We'll talk with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star, and New Albany Mayor Jeff Gahan joins our Friday program. John Spears is next. Governor Holcomb is at 2:30 with a COVID-19 update. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.